Hey, what's going on, everybody? We're back with a new episode of the Living Life with the Daniels podcast. I'm your host, Kevin. I got my lovely co-host.
Hello. Welcome to Living Life with the Daniels, where we explore living with purpose, health, relationships, and everything in between. I'm Shinovia, your co-host, alongside my fabulous husband, Kevin. Get ready for a great conversation about love versus lust. I can't wait to hear the fellas' perspective on this one.
We got a great guest. Clay, what's up, man?
What's going on? Thank you for having me. We back.
Another happy day, man. Okay, y'all. This discussion, let's talk about love versus lust. Believe it or not, it is not the same. who wants to start off?
I think you should start off.
Okay, I'll start off. Love versus lust. Love, in my opinion, is somebody that you're with that you just cannot wait to see them after a long day of work. You can't wait to hold them. You can't wait to just put your lips on their lips. You can't wait to just be in their presence. That's love. You miss them as they go away. That's love. Lust is just fornication. Just wild, all-out sexual behavior on all accords. Can lust turn into love? Possibly. But from what I know for a fact, if you are friends, love comes with friendship to where it can lead to so much more. That's my opening statement on it. Shinovia, you want to take over?
I would say that I agree. I think that love is emotional, it's empathy, is nurturing, being caring. And on the flip side of that, I think that lust is characterized as that feeling of sexual excitement. How we talk about fantasies, those sexual desires when we look at someone being aroused by someone. I do think also that lust could turn into love. But it would require commitment and actually growing the empathy and the caring part of the relationship. If it just stayed at lust, I don't see it lasting.
Okay. Clay, how you feel about that? Love versus lust.
I want to before I even, because I feel like once I get the definition of love, then it'll be easy for me to just throw out lust because I already know what that is. It's not hard for me, but okay. So I'm thinking while you guys are talking, I'm like, love, what does that look like to me? Like, what would I consider love? And so the only two things that I really came up with is loyalty. I don't think that you can love somebody, not love somebody and be loyal to them. That don't make sense. I ain't never been loyal to somebody that I don't even like or love. So I was thinking loyalty. Like when I'm defining it, like what is it?
Okay.
That's an act, being loyal to somebody. And then I was thinking giving your life for somebody. That's the ultimate love to me because you're sacrificing yourself. So I was just trying to get the definition, like, in my head. I don't know. Everybody going to have a different definition of what love is. But I'm like, what would I classify it as? Because, yes, love is, like, it's an emotion. It's how you feel about somebody. But, like, what is it in totality? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because if I can figure out what that is, then it's like, we already know lust ain't nothing but physical attraction for real, like infatuation with somebody or a feeling or sexual chemistry.
That's what I'm saying.
So I don't know. I'm not saying that what I said is like what love is. That's just like my definition of love would be somewhere in between like being loyal to somebody and no matter what, you're always do right by them no matter what. Like, even if they make you mad, it doesn't matter. You have, like, an unlimited pool in that area. That's what I look at, like, ultimate love. No matter what, you'll be there for them. Y'all gonna make it. Y'all gonna work it out. And then lust, I just look at it like It's just physical sex. That's it. Good emotion, good time. You feel good, or it's fun. It's like adrenaline. If you're with the right person, it can feel like fireworks. And that's why I think people confuse the love and the lust, because in the bedroom or anything sexually, you guys is on fire. But outside of that, you probably don't got much in common, or it's
not compatible at all. Exactly.
Or it's like y'all can't even be around each other for 3 days without getting into it, you know, arguing.
That's key. That's key too. Because like you said, if the, you know, it's just lust, when you know beyond the sexual part, there's nothing of substance there. Then it's just lust. But
you don't
want
to hang out outside.
Right. And then if, as it progresses, because like I said, lust could turn into love if you're compatible.
Mm-hmm.
But as it progresses, if there's no conversation about where we're going, what we're doing, then y'all just, it's just a long, lustful situation.
Mm-hmm.
But in today's society, are we choosing lust more of love?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And if so, why?
Because it feels good initially.
It's quick. It's easy. It's like, get your quick fix. You don't need love. That's what we're promoting now. Man, skip love. I'm about my bag. I'm trying to get my money up. I don't need love. That's what they're promoting to generations younger. Get your money. You don't need love. You can do it yourself. Sex. That's all they're promoting is sex between... Like, they got these 20 verse ones on YouTube where it's like one guy, 20 women, and they ain't talking about nothing but just stupid stuff, man, like, for real. And it's that's what is being promoted, pushed. You get on social media, all you see is girls wearing tight stuff and dancing, and it's like they just put it in your face. So all you really thinking about is sex, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's... That's all you can think about when that's all they're pushing out to you, when that's all that's pushed out in songs. It sells. It make good money, so they gonna keep making money off of it. They got the biggest rapper right now is Sexy Red. Like, come on, man. Like, all you gotta do is turn on one song. You can see where everything going. Like, that's what they want. So, you know.
Because if you think about that, now that you say that, because, you know, sometimes we talk about that music-wise.
Yeah, we do.
How
yeah.
music has changed. Because yes. when we were growing up, R&B.
Love
right.
music.
Right. Yes. So yes. it was all about R&B and being in love and making love. And now you don't even get much R&B at all. It's all about rap music.
Yeah. And the R&B is not anywhere like the same potency as what it was exactly. back in the 90s. It don't even feel, it feel watered down. Like, it doesn't even feel like real. It's like poppy now, like pop.
I think that my issue is that people who lust all the time, they have no idea how true the special love is. And I say this from a standpoint of, okay, here's a prime example. If there's a young lady who has a OnlyFans page, and her OnlyFans page is her career, and she wonder why she can't find love. Well, possibly the reason you can't find love is because you're doing something so dirty on your OnlyFans page. What man is going to really accept that and fall in love with you? There's... And that could be an issue to where she might be lusting her whole life because she can't give up that to really pursue love. And so we living in a world now to where folks are sacrificing the art of trying to find love, trying to be in love for lust, which comes with, as we all say in today's world, a bag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. That's a problem in today's world. And from a parental standpoint, how do you really look at yourself as a parent knowing that your child is doing this ungodly acts on OnlyFans to where she wants to find love, she can't find love, and you see why she can't find love, and so you try to explain to her why she can't find love, but she's stuck on doing things her way because she's all about that bag. That's a problem in today's world.
I think as an older female to that child, The only thing you can do is try to tell them. Because the reality is kids are going to, or young women are going to do what they want to do.
I agree.
And sometimes it takes learning the lesson, maturity, time, before they get it. There was a time I know my mother would say things to me and I'd be like, what? You know, you hear it, but you're still like, okay, but I'm going to do what I want to do.
Exactly.
Until you realize, whew, if I had listened, I would have not wasted energy and time, especially time. But you don't realize how valuable time is until you get older.
Okay.
So, you know, until you're ready to actually take whatever advice somebody's giving you, as a parent, that's all you can do. And as my mother used to say, pray. She used to say she used to pray a lot.
School. Old school.
Oh, yes. She used to pray a lot for me. And so, you know, that's what you have to do. I mean, because you can't control an adult. Once she becomes, let's say she's 18, 19, you can't control that, especially if OnlyFans is, she's making a whole lot on it. How are you going to control her? She's grown now. She doesn't live with you. How are you going to control her?
No, she can still live with.
No, I'm just saying. She has the ability to live on her own. Like she's not dependent on you. So then how are you going to control her? And what you don't want to do is someone that age try to control them, because the more you try to control, the more they're going to do the opposite. I'm just going based off of experience and growing up. When you feel like somebody is controlling it and you have to do what they tell you to do, the more you want to rebel and do the opposite. So she can have those conversations with her, but it's going to take her experiences and the maturity for her to realize, okay, I want something else. And it may be hard to let go of that bag, but you may have to try something else in order to get to the destination you're trying to get to, which is love.
I think there's your definition of love, is the parent that's going to love their kid through that.
You're right. But they're just not going to be able to change you.
So look, while that was going on, I seen this the other day. There's an 18-year-old from California or LA that sparks controversy on social media after she reaches the top 0.1% on OnlyFans while still in high school. So that's been like something that's new now. She's 18. She's grown, so to speak. Now that I'm older, right? Now that I just turned 28 and everything, and I'm looking back and I'm saying at 18, I was not grown. Like, I can say that, you know, now. So I know she's legal and that legally she's grown, but it's like you're not, when you're 18, man, you still got a lot to learn.
Oh yeah.
So it's crazy, but this wasn't even going on 10 years ago when I graduated. So
it wasn't going on when we were 18.
No, the hell it was.
And so it only took 10 years for us to get to this point. I feel like my generation is like the precursor to the whole thing. But like now, the kids that's in high school now, this is normal to them. I feel like a girl having a boy in high school, knowing that like a classmate of his, a girl, has an OnlyFans, is not crazy to hear.
Let me speak on that for a second. Okay. For her to be in the top, 0%, whatever the hell?
The top 0.1%.
Which means that whatever she's doing it exceptionally well. And she's making a lot of money off of it.
That's not true. That's not necessarily true. Because some girls do go on there and finesse. Some girls can't go on OnlyFans and take pictures clothed, but they're teasing. Or they might take pictures in their feet. They might take pictures in a bikini. Like, not all of them are, like, really going crazy.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay.
I don't think so. I just don't feel like women. I've never bought an OnlyFans, but I definitely know some guys who bought them. So I'm asking, like, bro, first of all, I say, bro, why are you paying for that? That's dumb. But it's like, they go on there because of what they see on their social media page, like their regular Instagram. And so they're thinking if they go to their OnlyFans, they're going to be able to see something more than what you're seeing on Instagram. And it's not always like that.
So you're telling me that to be in the top 1%, she ain't doing something like truly ungodly to make that type of money?
Yeah, she probably showing her body. You know what I'm saying? She might be having sex on there.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. My thing is, okay, if that's the case, if she's doing all that, as her parent, how do you feel knowing that my 18-year-old is doing this ungodly acts for money and she's in the top 1% where she's quite good at it?
It's embarrassing.
Exactly. Exactly. And so you have to look at yourself as a parent to a certain extent of where did I fail in certain areas. Am I right or wrong? I could be totally wrong, but that's just the way I see it personally.
Okay. What if you're a parent, though, who's done everything right by your child?
Who I understand
has,
that.
Who has kept them in a pure, clean environment? Who has went out and put out a good effort into what you're letting your child hear when you have power over the situation? What you choose to listen to in the car, how you choose to speak around them, what you choose to expose them to, let them watch on TV around you. That's all you can really do, and speak to them. But you get them a phone, you can't do nothing about that.
And you're right.
Unless you put a parental, what you call it, on the phone. That's the only way you can kind of like mess with that situation. But if they got this, it's all because you can't control what your kid is looking at. If they got a Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, so Snapchat.
I would guess then that comes back to the level of parenting that you did in those younger years. And I'm not saying that even at 18, she can't go rogue, because she can. You know, because like you said, once they get a certain age, but you got to hope that or know that, or maybe I'll go back to hope that everything that you did in those younger years, that's why I think those years are crucial.
Specifically, like what years?
I think even as young as 5th grade, 6th grade, so you got to be teaching your girls, especially like that. Yes. And I'm not saying don't teach your boys, but you got to teach your girls what is and is not appropriate.
Yes.
You have to be strong on understanding you do not have to be your child's friend, but you are the parent. Now, as the relationship develops and they get older, of course you become like, you know, you could be like, I think of my mother as a friend now, but she's still my mother first. You know what I mean? But when I was growing up, I never looked at my mother like she was my friend, and she never looked at me like she was trying to make me her friend. You know what I mean? So I think that you've got to definitely parent. Man. Regardless of what's going on, my daughter was in the 5th, 6th grade. She'd have a phone, and she would come home and say her little friends had phones. That did not bother me one bit, because number one, if something's happening at school, your school can call me. They have my number. They have daddy's number. And when you get out of school, we pick you up. So in between time, what do you need a phone for? You know, once she got to middle school, she still didn't have a phone. I can't remember what grade in middle school we got her a phone. But when she first got there, she didn't have a phone. And like I said, I'm perfectly okay with you not going to be at the speed of other kids. Social media. There was no social media for her until high school. And even now, it's very limited. Like, there is no Instagram and Facebook. And I think she may have Snapchat. And even then, I'm looking at that. Let me see who's on this Snapchat. And she's in high school. So I just think that the parenting that you do leading up to 18 is very beneficial to the lessons and the way that a lot of kids pass that they're going to take. Not saying they're not going to make mistakes, but I do think parenting is key leading up to those years where even though you might be considered legally grown, you're still not grown. You're going to still need our assistance most of the time, you know, with something. And like I said, even then, it's not a 100%, you know, proof that child is not going to veer. But you've given them enough lessons and learning in life to get back on track. Now, as far as OnlyFans, I think this is a big thing just because social media has shifted everything. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't even have that to even think about doing. You know, when we were teenagers, first of all, we didn't even have cell phones.
Exactly.
You know, we had the little phone where you call and hang up every minute or two. And that was like senior year when cell phones really came out. Before that, it was like a beeper. So, you know, you didn't even have a phone. Smartphones. We didn't even have that till I was grown. So I just think that there is so much access. That's the problem now. So maybe, you know, even with the parenting, you got to figure out how to balance that, because there's so much access that we didn't have. We were not videoing everything that we did. We were able to make mistakes without everybody knowing, without the world knowing.
Yes.
You know, so it's different now. But as a parent, you still got to figure out how to parent that kid and hope for the best. And like I said, even if they veer off right, you're not going to stop loving them. You're going to still be there for them. But you still want them to have some kind of accountability so that you can help them, I guess, get on the track that they need to be on. Okay.
And I know that was a lot. But. No, yeah, no. It was
you're speaking truth.
But yeah, it was like you were saying some good stuff there. Like, that had me like, man.
She's speaking as a parent.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I mean, for real. Like, she's speaking as a parent. Because, I mean, everything she said was on point.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of these parents trying to be your kid's friend.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what she said. I was like,
I'm sorry, man, but there's no way in hell a parent should feel comfortable being their kid's friend. Because you blur the lines between authority figure and child. So, no.
And I think sometimes parents get it mixed up of thinking, well, I can't have fun with my kid unless I'm their friend. No, you can have fun. Man, our daughter, we laugh, we play, we have mamas. But when it gets serious, you know, I'm mama. I'm not your friend. And, you know, I can jump right back into it real quick so that you understand expectations, rules, whatever. Right. Like, and just from the upbringing she's had, there are certain things I don't even have to say or do now, but just because she knows my personality, who we are, what rules we've had for her. So she knows I'm not even going to do that. Like, there are things we talk about that happen at school, and I can tell that her level of maturity is beyond a lot of her classmates, because she'll just say, like, I don't even understand why they do this or why they do that. And it's, like I said, it's just the level of parenting. And not to say that as she gets older, she's not going to make mistakes. She will. There are things we still get on her about. But I can tell that the parenting's working, and especially when I'm comparing to some of the stuff that some of these kids, you know, are saying or doing. Like, even now in schools, kids curse like it's nothing. Like, it's just regular vocabulary. Mm-hmm. We didn't do that. And I just, to this day, I still don't understand that, because when you saw an adult, you know, you were not about to curse in front of adults.
Yeah, at all.
But they, and I'm just, you know, and then as a teacher, you're thinking in your mind, like, okay, so if you would just come to school and curse in front of me, clearly you got to be doing this at home.
All the time.
So who is teaching you, you know, that you've got to switch it up? Even if they're okay with you doing it at home, why would you come in front of an adult that you're, you know, you don't interact with like that personally? And curse just freely, like it's no, you know, big thing. So I just, like I said, I think it just goes back to the parenting part. I think parenting is key, and you're not going to get it. Everything's not going to be perfect with parenting, but you still got to hold yourself to a level of accountability when you're parenting your kids. Do not treat them like they're just your best friends.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with that, Shinobia. I agree with that 100%. This podcast is sponsored by Travels by Shinobia. Once again, that's Travels by Shinobia. Closing statement, Clay, love versus lust. Man. What's your closing statements on this great topic?
Man, this was one that could have kept going for a long time. I think that my closing statement is, I think that love has a whole bunch of different forms. And so does lust. That's kind of what I kind of figured out by all the things that we just touched on. Like, there's a lot of different ways that you can lust after something or lust after someone. And it doesn't even have to just be straight sexual. It can be the energy behind you getting on social media and shaking and gyrating, shaking your body, showing body parts. Like, there's lust behind that. And then love, there's just a whole bunch of different ways your kid can do OnlyFans, and you can love them throughout the whole process of that, not turn your back on them. Or, you know, there's other ways of love where you're in a relationship and you guys are in love and you love being around each other and you do stuff for each other. So my closing statement is, there's a lot of different forms and variations of love and lust.
I like that. Shenovia, closing statement, love versus lust.
I think that initially they are two entities, but if it becomes something that both parties want to take further, then if it started off as lust, love definitely has to be a part of that in order for it to become something serious and long-term.
Okay. My closing statement on love versus lust is it's a difference between the two. Everybody should know that. Lust. It's a lot that goes with lust. More from a sexual standpoint. So that goes hand in hand by itself. No pun intended. But love, let's get back to trying to find love as opposed to lusting over things. I'm a handsome, you know, mature man, and I have this love for my wife. Now, do I lust over her? You damn right I do. But that's my wife, so I can say that, and I can do that. So I'm proud to say that. But yeah, this was a great episode. Great episode. I mean, man, the conversation that we're having on these topics, I love it. I love it because I love the energy in this room. This shit feels right. How y'all feel about that?
I agree.
I think today's both topics was good. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I think they were both topics that you could have just kept going in so many different directions right. with that's why I was like, man, these were good ones too. And okay. I feel like these were light. Like, I feel like these we haven't even scratched the surface with all the things that we could really talk about. So yeah, this was a good episode. Okay.
Well, we may have to do a part two then. You never know.
Maybe, yeah. Might have to come
never know. Soon. And bring in a few extra guests.
Yeah.
You never know.
Get some
so,
different perspectives on it.
We'll look into that. So once again, great episode. This podcast is sponsored by Travels by Shenovia. Once again, that's Travels by Shenovia. I'ma say this again. I'ma say it till I'm blue in the face. She's the best travel agent I've ever dealt with. Travels by Shenovia. And on that note, we'll see y'all next episode.